So for the past few weeks, we've been talking about this whole idea of back to the basics. And so we looked at our Bibles and we talked about church a little bit. For the next 2 weeks, I would like to talk about prayer and maybe in a little bit different way than you might be thinking this morning. So first, let me ask you a question. Any of you ever heard of FOMO? Oh yeah, Chris is in the back going, it's me, right? So FOMO, if you've not heard of it, it's okay. You might have experienced it, you might have gone through it before, but you don't know what it is. FOMO is simply the fear of missing out, okay? So for those of you in the room who have grandkids or kids you don't understand, it's because of FOMO. They're on their phones all the time. I'm going to miss out. Somebody's going to do something. Somebody's going to happen to something. Something's going to do something, and I need to know when it is immediately, right? I need to know tomorrow. I can't find out later. I need to know now. And so because we're so worried about missing out on something, we're constantly looking for information. So that's what this idea of FOMO is, the fear of missing out. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want to have something happen and I not know about it, or something go on and I can't go be there. I want to know, and I want to have all this information just flying at me. And that's really probably what leads to this information overload, if we're honest, that goes on in our lives. We just have all this information, and let's just be honest, a lot of it's useless. It's all jammed up here somewhere because we don't want to miss out on anything that is happening or going on. And we want to make sure if somebody starts a conversation with, did you see? Yeah, we saw it. Okay. Did you hear about? Yeah, I heard about it. We want to make sure we are right on the edge and we know what's going on and we don't want to miss out. So what does that have to do with this idea of prayer? Well, I wanted to start talking about prayer because I want to talk about what we are missing out on in your walk with Christ. Do you think you are missing out on anything with your walk in Christ? So those in the room, those watching online, do you think you're missing out on anything as far as this walk with Christ? So have you ever read scripture and go, well, man, I haven't experienced that. Maybe you think for a moment, am I missing something? And sometimes we just don't even grasp that concept that we might be missing out on something. But I think we are. And I'm going to talk about it probably very differently than you might think over the next 2 weeks. Prayer and what we are missing out on. What you are missing out on, what I'm missing out on at times, what we are missing out of in prayer. So this morning, I'm not even going to talk about what we need to say. I'm going to talk about a different passage that helps us understand something that's really, really hard for us to do. So we're going to dive into that. Psalm 46, if you have your Bible, you watch online, you can grab that. You can watch the screen for the words coming on. But Psalms 46 is one of those psalms that's really, really important. In fact, if you've ever heard the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, this is where Martin Luther got it from, okay? He loved this psalm, and he actually wrote a hymn based on it, okay? Everybody believes that Psalms 46 has to do with King Hezekiah, so let me bring you to another psalm. If you've ever heard the song playing on the radio called Raise a Hallelujah, if you've ever heard that song is based on a scene that happens in the life of King Hezekiah. That same scene is what they believe he uses as the basis to talk about Psalms 46. It's a great psalm. The first couple of verses you ought to memorize because they're really, really important and we need them. But it's the last concept we're going to come to that I think is really important. And if we'd be honest, really hard for us to do. Okay? What I'm going to ask us to think about doing this morning is going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. We're not used to it. But I think it's going to produce some great benefits in our life. So Psalm 46, here we go. God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. For this reason what? Because God is who he is, and he is a strong refuge, and he is our helper no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on. Because of this, we do not fear, even though, and they give some pretty drastic circumstances, when the earth shakes and the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea, right? When its waves crash and foam and the mountains shake before the surging sea. I mean, he's talking about something huge happening and taking place. He said, we don't even have to fear. If it's like the apocalyptic end, okay, whatever disaster movie you like to watch, okay, we don't even have to fear in those moments Because God is our refuge, he is our strength, and he is truly our helper no matter what happens or go on. Now, I think it probably would help us if we would apply this to our current circumstances, okay? So remember, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, as the way some of it is worded. So we will not fear when a pandemic comes, and when hospitalizations rise, and when panic is everywhere. So just substitute whatever it is that brings you fear into this verse, and it might help you just to understand. Because Hezekiah said, hey, when it's really, really bad, the mountains shake and they're falling into the sea and there's all sorts of natural disasters, why don't we just start with ours? Because how well did we do believing God was our refuge and strength when all the panic, that is, by the way, still going on in lots of cases. Okay, if you want to know how bad fear is out there, and I don't recommend you doing this, but if you just want to know, okay, just wait till the governor has a news conference. Go on Facebook and look at the chat. Okay? It's terrible. That's the first thing I do if I'm sitting in my office and, okay, I should follow what's going on. First thing I do, click, hide chat. I don't want to know. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the people calling their names. I don't want to see any of it. It's ridiculous. Okay? It's just so many fearful people. If the governor doesn't say the right thing, she just wants us to die. Well, that's not true, but that's what's going on, okay? So, is God really our refuge and our strength? Is he truly our help in trouble? Because I think when we start applying it to specific parts of our lives, we might be like, I don't know. How did I do when the pandemic came? How did I do when hospitalizations were on the rise? How do they do when every news story starts with panic? Just panic. That's why I tell Jill all the time, I get about 5 minutes and I'm done. Because after 5 minutes, it's not, hey, we're doing great. Cases are down. Hospitalizations are down. No, that's not what they lead with. The variant's here. You could get the variant, you're in trouble. I mean, that's where they start. And then, oh, by the way, cases are down. Isn't that amazing, right? Right after you're all ramped up because now there's a variant and who knows, right? So that's what happens. How are you processing fear? How are you processing when these things happen in your life? Now, your scenario might be different because of current circumstances. So is God really your refuge and strength, your help in trouble when your company downsizes and you might be looking for a job? When your pay is uncertain because all of a sudden there's people not spending like they were. Is God really our refuge and strength then? Because that's all the writer is trying to get us to do. Insert your situation and ask yourself, is God really my refuge and strength? My helper when everything goes wrong and nothing goes right and nothing's going the way it's supposed to and just bad news after bad news after bad news. Is God then my refuge and my strength? He continues. The river's channels bring joy to the city of God. He, the special holy dwelling place of the Most High. Now you gotta understand, okay, where does God dwell in the Old Testament? The tabernacle and the temple. Okay, so this is why they're focused on Jerusalem. And I'm gonna talk about a difference here in a moment. God lives within it. It cannot be moved. God rescues it at the break of dawn. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are overthrown. God gives a shout and the earth dissolves. And here's what I need you to know, because this is really important when you're studying the Old Testament, that from the cross on, which we get to experience, we are so fortunate that we are in that second part of history, from the cross on. From the cross on, God deals with individuals and not nations. Okay, so we don't build structures and ask God to come and live in here, okay? God, we built a really nice building, and we'd like you to live in this building, okay? We'll build you a nice little room. Okay, that's Old Testament, right? What happens? Jesus raises from the dead, and what does he promise to all who will follow him? His Holy Spirit. So he no longer dwells in buildings, and he no longer dwells in nations. He dwells here within us. That's a really important distinction. Because if you don't understand that distinction, all of a sudden you start seeing things in an Old Testament view. Ooh, there's God punishing that nation. No, God punishes individuals. There is judgment on individuals. That's what eternity is about. An eternal life or eternal death. That's about individuals, not this nation, that nation. So you got to understand, especially when you're reading a passage like Psalms 46. Oh, God lives in the city. Does God live in our city? We start getting concerned and start thinking, does God? No, God lives here. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives here. We become that dwelling place of God all over the world. That's why governments can't keep him out. That's why they can't put up borders and say, okay, God, you're not allowed on our property. That doesn't work that way, because he dwells in the lives of those who would follow him through his Holy Spirit. That's really important to remember, because if not, you could read a passage like this and get confused. I want you to know God deals with you as an individual. Deals with you as an individual. So what have you done becomes the question with Jesus. Not what did my parents do? Well, my parents were godly, and you know, they went to church and they gave and they were faithful and they followed Jesus, so I think I'm okay. No, doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because God deals with us as what? Individuals. Individuals. So what have you done with Jesus? What have you done that helps you in the midst of fear than to be able to say, okay, God is my helper and strength. He hasn't left. He hasn't gone away. He hasn't vanished, because he lives here within me. Continues, the Lord of heaven's army is on our side. Sounds like another song, right, that's out there. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, witness the exploits of the Lord, who brings devastation to the earth. Look what God has done, Hezekiah would have said at this point. Look what he's done. Is there any reason we shouldn't trust him, that he is our help no matter how bleak or bad situations look? He brings an end to wars throughout the earth. He shatters the bow. He breaks the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then he says, and all depends on your translation. Okay, you either have it in a positive, be still and know that I am God, or here in the New English Translation that we use, that I really enjoy using, stop your striving and recognize that I am God. Recognize that I am God. Do you realize the whole story with Hezekiah was, Hezekiah, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go lead in worship. Yeah, but where's our firepower? Just go and lead in worship. Yeah, but where's this? Okay, right? No, you're not going to strive in this. You're not going to do anything, because I'm going to show you that I am God, in spite of what you're going to do. So you're going to go out there and you get to be the lead worshiper, and you get to lead everybody into worship and watch me win the battle. And God does that so often throughout Scripture that you're like, why is he doing that? Because he wants them to trust him. And if they're trying, if they're sitting around, I got to figure out how to do it, I'm not sure I can depend on God, so I got to figure this out on my own, then they're not really trusting him. And this is an exercise. This statement is an exercise in trusting God. Do I really trust God when everything goes bad, when everything gets difficult, when I'm just, you know, digging and trying to figure it out and trying everything I possibly can? Am I just striving? And God would say, stop your striving. Would you just recognize that I am God, that I am in control, that I am sovereign over all of it? You don't have to figure out. You just have to trust me. Continues. He says what? I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted over the whole earth. In other words, I'm sovereign over everything. There's nothing that happens that God is surprised by. There's nothing that happens that just undermines what God is trying to do. God is going to continue what his plan is throughout everything happening and going on. The Lord, he goes right back to this statement, the Lord of heaven's armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Why? Because Hezekiah that day did not have an army. He just had a worship team that went out and led. And so who fought for him? The Lord of heaven's armies. Probably if God is fighting for you, you have a lot better outcome than if you're doing it. A lot better outcome than if you're trying to figure out, how do I win this and how do I get this? So now it's, how do I take that statement and apply it? So here you go. When's the last time you had a quiet moment with Christ? To which all the parents in the room go, do you know I have kids? Okay, Do you know I have kids? Are you volunteering, Ed, to give me a quiet moment with Christ? Okay, that's what you might be thinking. But that's just the question I want you to think about. When's the last time you had a quiet moment with Christ? That it was just quiet, and you allowed God to speak into your life. When's the last time that happened? Because here's what I'm afraid is going on. With our busyness, right, because we're all busy, came noise. And here's what happened during the pandemic for a lot of people, including myself. And when the busyness stopped, do you know what happened? That silence, it was overwhelming. It was just deafening. I can't deal with silence. We got to do something. So we binge watched every show possible on Netflix, right? We did everything possibly we could to try to get that noise back in our life that we enjoyed so much, that we just got used to. We didn't like the silence. We didn't like the slowdown. We didn't like the, why am I not going everywhere? What happened to my social calendar? That all got changed during this time. It all got changed. It all got different. It all became different. And if we'd be honest, we didn't adapt very well, possibly, to it. We just looked for it. It's got to get back. Come on. Get things going. Get things rolling again. Get things back. Why? I don't like the silence. I don't like the stopping. I don't like this quiet period. I don't like this at all. Because our busyness brought noise that we like, that we've just adapted to, and we've just enjoyed. And the idea of being quiet before God and just for a moment to let him speak into our life is probably just, I don't know if I could do that. But let's be honest, when the silence is where we quit our trying and we start trusting, right? Because I'm trying, I'm going to figure this out, I'm going to keep things going and try, and I got to the point, and you know, this is just this true with church life, that I have no idea. That's why I didn't stand up here in January and go, here's our calendar for that. I have no idea. I really don't. I didn't like being there. You just need to know this, okay? I did not like being there. I like having the whole year mapped out. I know exactly what's happening, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. That's just me. So part of the hard part in all this was stop. No. We got schedule. That's what I want. That's what I'm used to. Now I want you to stop. I want you to stop, because maybe things you were doing were good, but I have something better. And we'll never get to better because we're always doing good, and I got to keep that schedule. Go. And so this has been really hard and really challenging to say, perhaps this is where I quit my trying and I start trusting. Okay, what would you have us to do? What would you have us to do in the midst of this? This is where we started something called the leadership group, which whether go away, and we're going to meet tonight, 6:00, because I really think this is an area where we can do better, and we can study together and learn together and build one another up as leaders and do what God has asked us to do. And that's why I think that's going to be a really important thing. Let me tell you, if last year doesn't happen, we're not doing this. I'm just telling you, we're not. This is one on my calendar, this is one on my schedule. This wasn't anything that I had planned to do. But everything changes, and you start quieting down, and all of a sudden you, okay, God, I have no idea. And I'm wondering if God's trying to get you to quiet down because he's trying to get you to quit your trying and start trusting him. That he's got a plan in the midst of all of this. I know it's not going the way you wanted. Things got changed. Things got altered. But you would quit your trying and you would start trusting. The challenge. You want to know the challenge? Silence is often awkward. And we don't like awkward. Right? That's why I talk all the time, because like 10 seconds of silence up here is just weird. Okay? We're all that way, right? It's just awkward. Silence is awkward if you are not used to it. And we don't like awkward. We like normal, regular, we like a routine, we like everything that goes into place. And then we ask you to do something that's different. God is asking us to do something different that maybe we haven't done for a while. And in being silence, it's going to be awkward. In fact, in a little bit here, we're going to be silent for 1 minute. And I know that's going to, everybody's going to be like, this is weird. Ed, say something. This is weird, right? Because we're just not used to that. I'm not used to that. It's a challenge. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be awkward. Can I have you just embrace that awkwardness for a moment to let God step into it, to allow us to stop our trying and striving and figure it out and start trusting Him? So here's what I'm going to have you try to do this week, okay? Please try this. Try finding a few quiet minutes this week. Stop striving. Realize that Jesus is Lord, okay? A few quiet minutes. Now, I'm going to give you a simple way to do this. So in the Bible app, okay, some of you might have already seen this morning. I sent out an invitation. In the Bible app, the Bible reading this week goes to an app called Abide. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's actually a scripture meditation. And I'm going to warn you now, because I listened to it this morning. The guy talks really slow. It's hard. I know you're going to be tempted to get on your phone and go, speed up, speed up. Siri, have them read it 2 times faster, okay? I know you're going to be tempted to do that. I'm like, how long is this thing, okay? It was like 3 minutes, okay? And I'm going, how long is this guy going to read this 2 verses, okay? Because that's what he's trying to do. That's the whole idea behind it. And maybe you will like it. And it's an app you can download called Abide that will help you do that every day. But for this week, there's 5 days. It starts tomorrow. I kid you not, they're like 3-4 minutes. They'll probably drive you crazy the first day, 2, 3, whatever, right? Because it's just a different rhythm than we're used to. It's a different rhythm where we're just go, go, go. Like, come on, come on, hurry up. Do you know what I got to do today? You know, read the scripture faster for me. And that's what you're going to be tempted to do. And I'm going to urge you, just try. And that's a simple way to try to do that. Some of you are much farther down the line. Some of you are incredible people. And you journal. And you spend your time with God. And you journal through that. And some of you are amazing. Thank you for doing that. And I hope you will help to teach others how to do that. How to find that rhythm. And to slow down. And to be quiet. And let God speak into your life. See, prayer is both talking and listening. I don't even think we need to address the talking part. I don't. I think we got that down, right? We ask for stuff all the time, for God to intervene and God to do stuff, okay? Without listening, it loses a relationship. It is. Then God's just a genie. And you just need to grant my wishes, okay? Because that's all he becomes if it's just one side talking. We are missing a vital part of the relationship. Just being quiet, being still, and letting God speak into our lives. So, I know it's going to be challenging, it's going to be different, and even the worship team, I don't want you coming up during this minute, okay? I just want to give you a minute to sit here and be quiet, and to perhaps close your eyes, and just to be silent for a moment. And perhaps hear the Holy Spirit say, yeah, this is where you're trying instead of trusting. And you just might sit there and just enjoy the peace for a minute. But whatever it is, I just want us to get used to the slowing down, the quieting down, so that God can speak into our lives. Okay? So 1 minute, and then we will pray together. Father, I pray today you'd remind us that it's not in trying, but in trusting. And it's not in running around like crazy people, but in our resting. It's not in wondering, but in praying that we find your strength. Hezekiah found it that day on the battlefield with Sennacherib facing what was an insurmountable force. And you got him to stop striving, stop trying, stop, you're going to figure this out. Hezekiah, worship me and watch what I do. Father, forgive us for all the noise we've put in our lives, maybe to keep us from the quiet moments for you to speak. Would you help us create a new rhythm this week? Just a few minutes a day to be quiet before you. If nothing else, it reminds us that we are your sons and daughters and we are loved. That our circumstances don't declare how much you love us or anything else about our life. We are loved. And perhaps just being quiet would remind us of that. Ultimately, I hope it moves us from trying to trusting. Would you help us to do that, Father? Would you help us to be still, to stop our striving, and to recognize and to know that you are God and that you are at work and you are doing something incredible and amazing in our life. Help us to rest. Help us to learn a new rhythm. Do something great in our hearts and our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.